Amen. Thank you to Jim Thacker for playing for us this morning. Beautiful hymn to freedom. And just want to say a word of welcome to each of you. Welcome to this time of worship. Welcome to Tabernacle United Church. We are scattered all over the place, but we are gathered here in this space and in this time to be together, to worship God, to remember who we are, to remember whose we are, and that we belong to God and we belong to each other. And so if you are here for the first time, we're glad you're here. If you've been here many times before, we're glad to welcome you again. And if you are here for the first time and are visiting with us, thank you for joining us. And we would love to hear from you. So if you'd like to share your contact info or just share your name, you can do that in the chat box with us. And if you'd like to share your contact information so we can be in touch with you, we would love to do that. We would welcome that. So right there on your screen is my email address. Feel free to email me to let me know who you are and that you're here with us this morning. We would love to hear from you. A couple words of announcements today. Just a few things to lift up. First of all, we are not having coffee hour today because we're committing or dedicating our time after the service to our two caucus groups that we're starting today. One is for white people. We're going to be looking at working through Leila Saad's book, Me and White Supremacy. So we've been talking about this these groups for a little while, and if folks have already signed up, and you just feel free to email me and I can get you the information on that group. So we will be meeting at 11:45 this morning after our service today. There's also a group for Black Indigenous people of color. Jennifer Jordan is leading that group today also at 11:45. So if you would like to come to that, that is a group where they are going to be really focusing on building kinship and community and rest and recharging in this time that we're in. So we give thanks for Jennifer leading and holding that space for folks. Please be in touch with her if you'd like to join that group. I believe the email already went out with her contact information. If you don't have that, just put your name in the chat and we will make sure we get you connected to that group if you'd like to join. So that is happening today, 11:45. A couple other things, just want to highlight that now that we are in this Zoom format for worship, we'll be doing this throughout the summer, and we would love your help, participation in this worship time. So if you would like to help lead worship, if you'd like to help with writing prayers, or even volunteering to host coffee hour, the virtual coffee hour host, it's a really easy job. Basically, you just need to hold the space and have a little bit of knowledge of the technology to be able to do that. But we are looking for more people to help out with our services and with these different roles. So please let us know if you can. If you would email Shell, office manager, at tabernacleunited@gmail.com. for us, and Pauline will put that also in the chat box if you want to help with the services, and we would appreciate that. Also, just a final reminder again that our weekly schedule is we have prayer group at 8:30 on Tuesday mornings if you'd like to join us for prayer. We also have our 5:30 p.m. Bible study on Wednesdays that we continue to do. So please, we welcome you to join in on any of these opportunities for gathering. So we're going to continue now with this time of worship as we call ourselves to worship.
Good morning. I'm Pauline Abernathy, a longtime member of Tabernacle. I use she, her. Please join me in the call to worship. People of God, come into this time of questioning. Come into this time of confusion and distress. This hour will disturb you. This hour will bring grace. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pax, and my pronouns are they, them. And I invite you to sing some songs of praise and worship together this morning. This first one, based on an Imagine Dragons song, is an aspirational song that we sing together. And hopefully there's something in these lyrics for everyone that you can grab onto to step into greater action in your own life. Waking up to the fear and pride all around me and inside. I'm shedding all that holds me back. I'm learning more, I'm stepping up and finding power in God's love. The time is now for action. I feel it in my soul. God's justice making whole. God is here in this place. Here in this place. God is here in this place. Here in this place. Oh, 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 I'm ready for action. Ready for action. Oh, 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 I'm ready for action. Ready for action. Make a vow and say a prayer to serve God's people everywhere. Lord, give me strength to stay on track. We'll tear down walls that keep us bound and free the captives all around. The time is now for action. I feel it in my soul. God's justice making whole. God is here in this place. Here in this place. God is here in this place. Here in this place. Whoa, oh, whoa. I'm ready for action. Ready for action. Whoa, oh, 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 oh. I'm ready for action. Ready for action. Oh, 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 ready for action, ready for action. Oh, 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 I'm ready for action, ready for action. Amen. On this next song, I invite you to either sing with me or sing as an echo to each of these lyrics as we sing this song together. If you aren't familiar, I think you'll learn it quickly. Oh, healing river, send down your waters, send down your waters upon this land. Oh, healing river, send down your waters and wash the blood from off the sand. This land, this land is burning, no seed is growing in the barren ground. Oh, healing river, send down your waters. Oh, healing river, send your waters down. Let the seed of freedom awake and flourish. Let the deep roots nourish. Let the tall stalks rise. Oh, healing river, healing river from out of the skies. Oh.
Amen.
God has called us to be people of peace. But peace is hard to find and harder to keep. We try to make peace in small ways. Too often our efforts are ignored. Too often we are told we are doing things the wrong way. But how should we act? What can we do to make things right, to make our peace of earth more like a piece of love, a place of love? Amen. Please join me in the prayer of confession. God, we are learning slowly how we have laid waste to your creation, not just the earth, but the way we live with and against each other. We have allowed ourselves to want too much privilege. We have taken too much power. We pretend that our lives, often peaceful on the surface, are the lives you wish us to lead. We have created days and spaces of false peace, where some have what they want, but others have nothing, not even what they need. We do not hear the voices that tell us what a violent world we have created and kept. We do not look past our comfortable refuges to see what damage we do with our money, with our words, with our beliefs. Bring us out of the darkness we have created around ourselves. If the darkness gives way to painful light, so be it. Hear these words of assurance. The God who made us capable of guilt and sorrow will not let us live there forever. The God who made us capable of change through grace will fill us with that grace. In a time of terror and remorse, God will show us how to make our own peace, a peace that does no harm. Thanks be to God. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
I invite you to join me in singing a song of praise together. This is from the Taizé tradition in France. Lord, with all my heart.
my joy. Alleluia.
Jesus comes to offer us peace, peace that is not of this world. And so we receive that peace and we offer that peace to one another. So in this time, we are invited to share the peace of Christ with each other. If you go to gallery view, you can all see each other, and let's share the signs of Christ's peace. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace.
Peace. Peace. Peace. Peace. Peace.
Peace. Peace.
Peace. Peace. Peace. Peace. Peace. Hey, Mike. Good to see you.
Hello.
Not sure where am I?
Good to see you all.
Peace.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good morning, everyone.
Peace.
Good morning.
Peace. Elliot, Nicole.
Mitch and Bridget, peace.
Mitch and Bridget, good
peace
to see you.
Peace be with you.
Peace to Maya. First time here.
Peace to Levi.
Peace.
Good morning,
Levi. Good morning, Jennifer.
Peace.
Oh,
with Lee.
And
ask if she wants
to
know.
Oh, there. Do you see me?
Yeah. Carmen.
Say hi.
Hi.
Happy Father's Day, Dad.
Oh.
Yeah.
Father's Day, Leroy.
Okay.
Hi, Chris.
Yeah. Welcome back. Oh, hi, Alicia.
Carmen, good to see you. Peace be with you.
Hi, Angela.
Hi.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Gina and Anna.
Good morning, Patrick and Rona.
Sonia. Morning. Ray, Elizabeth.
Hi, Auntie Laura.
Good pumpkin.
Hi, Priscilla.
Where is Auntie? Yeah. I want to be with Auntie.
It's Dusty in here, Jennifer.
Morning, Elizabeth and Ray.
Hi.
Hi.
Morning.
Good morning, hi. Oscar.
Oh. Oh my gosh.
This morning's first reading comes from Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 4 to 7 and 10b to 11, and it's from the New Revised Standard Version. You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, when people fall, do they not get back up again? If they go astray, do they not turn back? Why then has this people turned away in perpetual backsliding? They have held fast to deceit. They have refused to return. I have given heed and listened, but they do not speak honestly. No one repents of wickedness, saying, what have we done? All of them turn in their own course, like a horse plunging headlong into battle. Even the stork in the heavens knows its times, and the turtle dove, swallow, and crane observe the time of their coming. But my people do not know the ordinance of the Lord. From the smallest to the greatest, they are greedy for unjust gain. Priest and prophet alike, they act falsely. They have treated the wound of my people carelessly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
This is the time in our service when we invite children to come forward and closer to the Zoom screen so we can all be together and see what is going to be shared. Let's sing together.
Come and see, I am the way and the truth, said he. Follow me, come as a child, oh come and see.
There we go. Hello, friends. My name is Nicole, and this is Elliot. Our pronouns are she, her, and he, him. And where are we today? Where are we calling in from?
We're
not in Philadelphia.
We're in Scarborough.
We're in Scarborough, Maine. So we moved to Maine last summer, but it's been really a joy to be worshiping with all of you during this coronavirus time. We want to wish a special happy Father's Day to any of the fathers out there today. And we're going to talk a little bit about rules and fairness. For adults, a lot of our household rules are things that are just the way we're choosing to live our lives. But for kids, household rules are things you need to learn. And if they're not followed, sometimes there are consequences. Can you think of a rule in our house? Can you think of an example of something that's a rule in our house?
I forget what it was, but my consequence was no soda for the rest of the week.
He remembers the consequence. I think we had a conversation and that was around spitting. But what about like if you are playing outside and you come inside and there's like a bunch of stuff on your shoes? Is there a rule in our house about that?
Yes.
What do you need to do?
Wipe them before I go inside.
Wipe them off and probably even take them off.
Yes.
Yeah. So we have a lot of rules in our house. Like how are you, if you have scissors, do you walk or run with them? What's the rule?
Walk.
So there's a lot of rules to learn. And we just got a new cat in our household. Some of you may be aware of that because it keeps making its way onto the screen. But that came with some new rules, right, Elliot? Do you remember any of the, there we're showing you the cat, she's sleeping. Do you remember what happened with some of those new rules? Hey, Elliot.
Hey.
So one of the new rules was around not picking her up too much, right?
Yes.
And when we had this conversation about the new rules, Elliot says, well, I don't really like these rules. I don't think they're very fair because I didn't get to have a say in creating them.
At all.
Do you remember saying that?
Yes.
Yeah. So sometimes it's really tough and we don't have a say in the rules that we create. Fairness comes up a lot in our house. Kids have a good sense of when something isn't fair. But when our rules work well, it means we've all agreed to them and they apply to us equally. So the other day we were about to go for a scooter ride and I was asking Elliot to follow the rule of putting his helmet on. Do you remember what you said to me?
You have to wear a helmet too.
Yeah. Because both our heads are important. So
yours even more.
Do you think?
Ding, ding, ding. Your skull is not as hard as mine.
So we try and have rules that we all follow. I wanted to share with you just a little part of, this is a book that we have about Jackie Robinson. And we have a few of these books and they're out of the series called Ordinary People Change the World. And at the very end of this book, it's kind of the summary of Jackie Robinson's story. Do you remember, Elliot, there was a rule in this book that was unfair You remember what that rule was?
If you wanted to go to the major leagues, you had to be white.
So that was a rule at the time, and it was an unfair rule, and Jackie Robinson was involved in changing that rule. So I'm just going to read the last two pages to you. So this is Jackie Robinson speaking. In life, people tried to scare me. They wanted to stop me. They wanted to make me go away. Why? Because I was different. Each time, I wanted to fight back, but for real change to come, you need to lead by example. Being a leader takes bravery. But remember this, no one is born brave. No matter how big or small you are, there will always be things that scare you. It's okay to be afraid. Just don't let it stop you. There is real power in each and every one of us. Use that power to do what's right. Use that power for a cause that you believe in. And most of all, use that power to lead and help others. So that's a little bit of Jackie Robinson's story. And it's been a helpful story for us to have conversations recently. So you don't need to be a superhero to change the world. This whole series is all about how ordinary people change the world. So if you find a rule that you think is unfair, I invite you children to ask a question about it and have a conversation about it and see why that rule exists and make sure that it's being applied to everybody. Watch out, parents. let's have a prayer. Will you repeat after me, Elliot? Let's hold hands.
I usually make better.
Kiddos, friends. If you're with your, with, or anybody who's together, if you want to hold hands with who you're with, you can do that.
I usually make better prayers than my mom.
Do you want to say the prayer?
No, you can. Oh. I'm just saying.
Next children's time, you can say the prayer.
Okay.
Okay, let's pray. Holy One.
Holy One.
We give you thanks.
We give you thanks.
For the part of us.
For the part of us.
That lets us know when things are unfair.
That lets us know when things are unfair.
Help us question and challenge.
Help us question and challenge.
And create new rules that are fair.
And create new rules that are fair.
Amen.
Amen.
You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Let your light shine bright to the world. You are a child of God.
The song we'll be singing here in our service is called Jesus Christ is Waiting. And I learned this song. It's a John Bell song. It's written to a traditional tune with new lyrics. And if you don't know the song, I think you'll learn it quickly. But I invite you to think about and imagine these images as you sing them.
Jesus Christ is waiting. Waiting in the streets. No one is his neighbor, all alone he eats. Listen, Lord Jesus, I am lonely too. Make me friend or stranger, fit to wait on you. Jesus Christ is raging, raging in the streets, where injustice spirals and real hope retreats. Listen, Lord Jesus, I am angry too. In the kingdom's causes, let me rage with you. Jesus Christ is healing, healing in the streets, curing those who suffer, teaching those he greets. Listen, Lord Jesus, I need healing too. Let my care be active, healing just like you. Jesus Christ is calling, calling in the streets. Who will join my journey? I will guide their feet. Listen, Lord Jesus, let my fears be few. Walk one step before me, I will follow you.
What a powerful hymn and powerful lyrics to that song. Thank you, Pax, for bringing that to us. Before I read the scripture reading this morning, I want to just say a few words to get us kind of into the reading, because it's going to feel abrupt and a little bit striking. There's a lot that's a bit disturbing about our gospel passage today. So I just want to say a few words to kind of set us up before we hear the gospel reading. The place where we're starting this morning is coming from the same section where we were last Sunday. So if you remember, if you were here last Sunday, we talked about harvest time, and particularly the words when Jesus says that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And he's using this metaphor of harvest time to talk about the urgency of this moment that we're in, and I would argue the moment we are in, not just where he was then, but the moment we are in now, the urgency of this moment, despite the overwhelming task before us, is for us to get into the mission of God's liberating work. And it's this call, this image of harvest that he's using. And so he sends the disciples out even in the midst of this overwhelming task. So where we pick up today is in the midst of that, he's continuing to talk. So we continue to hear Jesus speak. And I want to give you fair warning that Jesus is making clear that this time of harvest is not going to be an easy time. Because part of what happens in the midst of this kind of explosion of fruitfulness, of harvest, of God's justice coming to light, is that the powers and principalities also are strong at work and want to quench the work of justice. And so the empire is hell-bent on its violent tactics to protect itself. So the words we hear this morning about harvest time are not easy words, and I don't personally like them. But what I personally like, it should not determine what I preach. And that would be Katie's gospel, not the gospel of Jesus Christ. So my prayer this morning is, as we hear these words and I speak, that the Spirit would speak in spite of me and through me, and that we would be disturbed into faithfulness if we need to be, and that we would be comforted in our faithfulness if that's where we are and what we need. So let's open up our ears to this continued speech from Jesus as he's continuing to talk about harvest time. I'm going to pick up in verse 26 of chapter 10. We're actually going to start a little later. So verse 26 of chapter 10, and I'm going to read through verse 39. Nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered. Nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim it from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground unperceived by your parent. and even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my parents in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my parents in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves a child, their child more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. This is holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Dr. Ibram Kendi says that the heartbeat of racism is denial. The heartbeat of racism is denial. And the heartbeat of anti-racism is confession. He says, being an anti-racist requires persistent self-awareness, constant self-criticism, and regular self-examination. The heartbeat of racism is denial, and the heartbeat of anti-racism is confession. That's a quote to just sit with for a while. Denial is about cover up. It's about covering up. It's interesting to me that Jesus speaks of this harvest time that we are in as a time of coming out of denial. Jesus uses this metaphor of uncovering. He says, nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. What you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim it from the housetops. In other words, for God's harvest of justice to come, reality has to be uncovered. We have to come out of denial. The reality of pain, the reality of suffering that we inflict upon each other or have inflicted upon certain groups, it must be brought to light, particularly to those who have not been able or willing to see that reality. I had this image, it's such a troubling image, but when I think about that uncovering, I think about Emmett Till, who was 14 years old when he was brutally murdered by a group of white men. This was in 1955. No one was convicted of his murder. The white men who were charged with the murder were acquitted by an all-white, all-male jury. Mamie Till Mobley, who was Emmett's mother, asked for an open casket at his funeral. As horrifying as it was for her, she wanted the world to see the gruesome act committed against her son by white men. She wanted to reveal to the world the reality of white supremacy on black lives. This is what white bodies do to black bodies. The uncovering of this terrorizing brutality for more people to see, and especially white people to see, this was what became part of the catalyst for the civil rights movement. Reality must be uncovered. We have to come out of denial in order for change to come. so much progress, I think, has been halted because of white people's continued denial of the reality of anti-Black racism. I can't, as a white person, become an anti-racist unless the reality of Black suffering and my role in perpetuating that suffering is uncovered for me. As Jesus speaks of harvest time as a time of uncovering, we must understand that uncovering will necessitate greater tension. It's going to bring to light underlying problems. It's like when you pull a plant up by its root, the ground is disturbed, the soil is disturbed, and things get messy. And it is in this light that I think we can interpret Jesus' statement, "I have come not to bring peace on earth, but a sword." This is the only time when Jesus speaks of not bringing peace. So that is a clue for us to ask, what is going on? What is he talking about? I thought we needed peace. I thought Jesus was peaceful. Well, I believe and I think that if we read this in context, we are hearing that the kind of peace Jesus was speaking about here is a false peace. It's the peace of the Pax Romana, the peace of the empire, which is not really peace at all, as much as it is about covering up reality and saying everything is fine. It's like when Jeremiah, if we heard Pauline reading that this morning, when Jeremiah is railing against the leaders of Judah, he says, "You have treated the wounds of my people carelessly. You are saying peace, peace, when there is no peace." To announce peace when everything is not okay is to betray the real wounds of the people. It's silencing people's cries. Don't announce that everything is fine and thereby cover up reality, is what Jeremiah is saying. And I think Jesus is saying too. Things are not fine. Emmett Till's murder was 60 years ago, over 60 years ago. Things were not fine then. Trayvon Martin, also a young Black boy. That was 2012. Things were not fine then. George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Dominique Remy Fells, 2020. Those are just days ago. Things are not fine now either. Things are not okay. Don't say peace when there is no peace. This kind of false pacifying peace of the empire that simply silences the cries of pain and covers up reality for those who are most oppressed by empire. I have not come to bring peace like that. That's what Jesus is saying, I believe. I have come to bring a sword. Because when we are in the harvest time of God's justice and reality is being uncovered, you have to take a stand somewhere. And when you stand, where you stand is with the crucified ones. And if you stand with the harassed and the crucified, there will be division. It will bring division. The sword is a division tool, in other words. It will put you at odds with the status quo. The soil of the status quo is going to get messed up and disrupted. The sword is a metaphor for division and tension that will inevitably arise when we stand with the crucified ones in our midst. I think Jesus is pushing us here to understand that there is no neutral stance in the kingdom of God. You are to take up the cross and follow me. And that, in and of itself, is going to put you right in conflict with the empire. Remember here that the cross is not a trivial burden. It's not just a hardship here and there. The cross is actually a shocking, communal, centralizing image for the church, and it is about solidarity with the marginalized. To take up the cross is to say that we together follow the Black Jesus, who was crucified, lynched, electrocuted, strapped to a gurney, and killed by lethal injection. The Black Jesus who is one with Black suffering, one with Black liberation, one with Black joy. And Jesus is fully in the struggle for the redemption of our bodies and our souls. So to take up the cross means something very particular for the church, even though we failed so much to understand that particularity. But it means something very particular for the church to center itself around the image of the cross. It means that we rebuke tyrannical power. We rebuke the false peace and the violence of a white supremacist empire. We rebuke it. To take up the cross is not just this individualized thing. We sometimes equate hardship, individual hardship, with just, we say things like, this is just my cross to bear. And I'm not making light of individual suffering. We all do suffer individually and in different ways. I'm not saying that the cross can't sometimes be used as an image for that heart, for our hardship. But it is more operating as a communal symbol for us, for the church. It is much more of a communal symbol, a symbol that we gather around to remember who our God is and therefore who we are. It's a symbol that helps us remember where we stand and where God stands with the crucified of today. Who are the crucified of today? That's where we must be. And if that's where we must be, then we will become disturbers of the false peace of empire. The church is to take a stand somewhere specific, and in its specificity, that stand will be divisive. That's where I think we get out this image of the sword. It will cause division even in your family, Jesus says. Now, this is getting really hard. Jesus is talking about family. Whew. Okay. This is where you start to sweat. I'm already sweating. It's hot in here. But family? Family. What if family is everything to me? Well, Jesus isn't saying that you have to intentionally get divisive with your family just for any old reason. That's not what he's saying. But he is saying that when you become a student of mine, when you follow in my way, standing on the side of the crucified in our world, you need to expect some pushback from those who are closest to you. You have to expect that because it means something to take a stand there, and it's divisive. So I think we have to hear that, and then it pushes us to ask and to think, where is my allegiance? And I think actually right now, and I'm just saying this kind of off the top of my head, this to me is real. It kind of speaks into especially white folks and white silence. Because where we are often most silent as white people is with our families. We don't want to speak up and disrupt a relationship that feels peaceful and good. So this is hard. This is hard. And this is a dreadful passage. It's hard to hear. And yet what is striking to me is how much Jesus seems to be speaking right into our time right now. I mean, where have we heard in our country leaders and people, including ourselves, who eagerly jump to talk about peace when there isn't sufficient recognition of the reality of suffering, of Black suffering? Peace that kind of functions, when you dig in, as a code word for cover-up. What does it mean that Jesus didn't settle for that kind of peace? He didn't settle for denial. He didn't settle for false peace. His heart was pouring out with compassion for those who were harassed by the empire. He knew and he knows today that if we're really going to be serious about working in the harvest of God's justice, we have to know it's not going to be easy. And it's not going to be quick. It's not going to be a quick turnaround. And we've got to do it together. We've got to be in this together. But let me offer, if I may now, just a word about the kind of peace that Jesus does offer. Because I do think that Jesus offers peace and that we need peace to be able to be in the world and to do the work that we're called to do. We need the peace of God. We need the peace of Christ. But it's peculiar. It's a peculiar kind of peace. It's not the Pax Romana. It's not the peace that is of this world. In John's gospel, there is this beautiful phrase when Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. It is not the peace of this world. So do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." The peculiar peace that Jesus gives us is the kind of peace that works on decreasing the power of fear in our lives and lifts up the courage in our hearts so that we can stand in a place of division. We can stand in discomfort. It's the peace that grants us a grace so that we can do the difficult work that we're called to do. So if we ask, what is the character and function of the peace that Jesus gives? Well, I think it's a peace that anchors us in the clarity of our call. It's a deep knowing that we can do hard things because we have Christ's peace. It's a peace that is simultaneously an affirmation of our being and of our being loved. It's a peace that you feel just knowing that the God you serve knows how many hairs are on your head at this particular moment. You don't even know how many hairs are on your head. God knows how many hairs are on your head. God knows you. A peace that comes as we discover that we are known and loved by God. So as I close this sermon time, I want us to pray, and I invite you to pray with me, and I want you to pray for yourself. Sometimes we think that praying for ourselves is selfish. We should only pray for others, but I think we all need to pray for ourselves. Pray and ask for the peace of Christ. So I'm going to ask you to pray for yourself. We do this with the children often. We ask them to repeat a phrase after us. So in a way, I want us all to take the stance of being children. Let's be a child. Let's be children of God. And let's pray and ask for the peace of Christ to be with us. So if you would just take a moment and join me in prayer and just say each line after me. Jesus, give me your peace. Jesus, give me your peace. A peace that is not of this world. A peace that is not of this world. Jesus, give me your peace. Jesus, give me your peace. So that I can follow you. So that I can follow you. Amen.
stronger. My love is stronger than your fear. Don't be afraid. My love is stronger, and I have promised to be always near. Don't be afraid. My love is stronger. My love is stronger than your fear. Don't be afraid. My love is stronger. And I have promised to be always near.
As Pastor Katie preached, things are not fine, and Tabernacle supports us collectively and individually in rebuking the false peace and taking up the cross. Now is the time in our service when we are invited to support Tabernacle financially as we are able. One can text any amount to 84321. Or go online to tabunited.org/donation or put a check in the mail. Please give as you are able.
We are going heaven. Where we are going, but we know within, and we will get there. Heaven knows how we will get there, but we know we will. It will be hard, we know.
Creator, help us to use all that we have been given and all that we are sharing to harvest God's justice, to question and challenge and create new rules that are fair, and to demonstrate that love truly is stronger than our fear. Amen.
Amen.
This is the time in our service where we share our joys, concerns, and testimonies. Everyone here is welcome to use the chat function right now to reflect on the service and to bring your joys, struggles, or other prayer concerns before God and before our community. So if you are new here this morning, please feel free to use the chat function. What we do is give folks an opportunity to share, and then Pauline will be reading those prayers out loud so that we can hear them. And so I invite you, just as you hear each prayer, as you see the prayer, or if you're reading them or hear it out loud, that we share in that burden, share in that struggle, and that or in that joy together, as we raise our voices to God. So feel free to do that now. We will give a few moments here of pause as we offer our prayers. You can also pray in the silence of your heart as well.
From PAX, a prayer of thanksgiving for the prayers and resources offered from TAB for my friend leaving an abusive partnership. She is in a safe place, and I invite your prayers for her safety and stability over the next few months. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Beth, so grateful for the sermon and service and Pax's singing this morning. I feel re-energized for the week. A prayer for all of those putting new energy towards anti-racist work, for their discomfort, to not push them away, but push them further. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Alicia, prayers for my client, A. She is currently in the CHOP ICU with COVID-19. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Lucinda, prayers for all those who don't have holidays that celebrate their love. Prayers for all for whom this day is hard or painful. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Chris, for two more of my coworkers who were let go on Friday, for everyone with financial hardship in a very uneven and unfair system. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Isabel, a prayer of safety for those attending the Philly Queer March for Black Lives in Philadelphia today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. from Buki. Thanksgiving for the recovery of illnesses of family and friends, for our family friend Corrine's speedy recovery from a blood infection, and our Uncle Greg's recovery from COVID-19. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Michelle, pray for me as I begin. It's jumping. Sorry. Pray for me as I begin leading a BIPOC support group tomorrow. I need wisdom and strength that I don't have. You have it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Angela, asking for prayers for courage and wisdom for myself in my conversations with my family this week. Thank you, Pastor Katie, for your words. Prayers for my grandma who is dying, and that she may be eased in her suffering. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Gina, gratitude for summer solstice and the beginning of a new season. From Anna.
Thank you to all of you who have lifted up and shared what's on your heart this morning. And we will keep these people and situations and concerns in our hearts and prayers throughout the week as well. Thank you. And for those who still have burdens on your heart that maybe you just felt like you couldn't share, or whatever you're carrying, we honor those prayers as well. And recognize that in that silence, we can lift up our struggles to God too, and that God hears those. So let's sing together a song of prayer as we lift up all these concerns as well as the ones that remain on our hearts. Continue now. Will you join me in prayer? Oh God, we give you thanks for this time of sharing, for this time of recentering, for this time of receiving your peace that is not of this world. Help us to continue to be receptive to that peculiar peace that you give that allows us and empowers us to be who you are calling us to be. Give all of us courage and boldness and strength in this time that we're in all that we are facing, whether that be in our families, difficult conversations we need to have, whether it be our families or people close to us, whether it be in our workplace or on the streets. God, empower us and be with us. Help us to be people who are not okay with denial, and with false peace. But help us to be people who follow you more clearly and whose ears are attentive to your cries through your people. So God, be with us, strengthen us. And I pray for everyone on this Zoom worship this morning. I pray for all of us, that each of us would feel your presence and experience your power today and throughout this week. God, I also lift up our prayer for Father's Day today. We thank you, God, for all of our fathers and our grandfathers, great-grandfathers who have nurtured and given us life and love, whether they were biological or adopted, people who have acted as fathers in our life. We thank you. We thank you for all the fathers today who may be working or caring for their children or struggling financially or carrying heavy burdens. We pray for them. We pray for all those who have difficult or deeply painful experiences with their fathers. We pray for those who have lost their fathers to illness or death or violence. For those separated from their fathers. We pray for fathers who have lost a child to death. We pray for fathers who have lost children to gun violence. We pray for those who want to be fathers, but for whatever reason cannot or have not been able to. Rest your grace and presence on them today. We pray for those who are not only biologically fathers, but who are doing the work of nurture, healing, loving, and giving of their lives and gifts. We remember, God, that none of us has gotten to the places we are today through the storms of life or through struggles without the witness and presence and guidance of those who come before us and walk with us still. And so we thank you, God, that we are held up by our ancestors, and that we are not alone. We thank you for Jesus who taught us to pray, and we pray the prayer together. If you know it by heart, you can pray it, or if you need the words, it's in front of you on your screen. Our parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Let the seed of freedom awake and flourish. Let the deep roots nourish. Let the tall stalks rise. Oh, healing river, send down your waters. Healing river.
Friends, we will not be having coffee hour today, but we are going to leave the worship service on just for a few extra minutes for you to say hello and greet one another afterward. And please join us for the caucus groups if you can, starting at 11:45. Let us know if you haven't already signed up for those. And as you go today, receive these words of blessing. May the deep peace of Christ and of God surround you and fill you within today as you go out and do the work of God. Don't be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. It is not of this world. Amen. Go in peace. You're unmuted. Or, yeah. Some people are unmuted. It takes a minute.